I'm going to tell you a few stories. All you have to do is listen.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast, Nights, or I should say bonus. With me today is...
Dave, Ralph's.
And Ralph, and Oscar. Let's see, this is episode, I guess, number 40-something, and it is a 24 hours after watching, what movie was that?
I have to correct you there.
What?
22 hours.
22 hours? Only 22?
Yep.
All right, you're right. A day after Avengers Infinity War. Is it the Avengers or just Avengers?
I think it's just Avengers.
Okay. And as we said in the other show, the main show, so to speak, that we were going to try to get to it, maybe add it to that show, but then I figured that show might be too long also. Maybe separate them entirely. I don't know if that's going to be good or not. It could be an experiment to see if it works out this way or if we just add them to other shows instead.
Yeah, so all day I worked today was, don't you dare tell me what happened in Infinity War.
I bet a lot of people saw it Thursday night. I worked Friday, for example.
What's really funny is that the people that told me that were trying to ruin it for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, so you saw it? I go, dude, what did you think about it? Like, la, 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 because they're like, don't tell me who dies. I was like, but you're just telling that guy that a bunch of people die. So I'm just going to tell you the names instead. And they're just like, don't you dare.
Yeah. So this is a special episode in that we're only going to review this movie alone as long as it takes. Actually, hopefully not that long. And then that's it. That'll be the end of the show. And also, while we're going to put a spoiler alert now, we are going to spoil the entire movie as much as we want from the get-go. Just because most people have seen it, will watch it. Even the ones that haven't seen it yet, they will definitely watch. Like, you know, it's just, if you're in this, it means you don't care about spoilers or you've seen it like 3 times already, you know, like a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. Or just once. So, you cool with that, Ralph? I figure that'd be better. That way we don't have to.
It just works easier.
Yeah,
just start spoiling shit right away.
So, let us start with our only thing, Avengers Infinity War. As the Avengers and their allies have continued to protect the world from threats too large for any one hero to handle, a new danger has emerged. Thanos, a despot of intergalactic infamy, his goal is to collect all 6 Infinity Stones artifacts of unimaginable power and use them to inflict his twisted will on all of reality. Everything the Avengers have fought for has led to this moment. And then a little bit more, but I'm skipping that.
Yeah.
All right. And this stars everybody.
Everybody.
Every motherfucker.
So, missed opportunity to say that they're protecting the world from devastation to unite all people within our nation.
Is that... that sounds really familiar.
Team Rocket.
Team Rocket. That's right. Anyway, this stars Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, Don Cheadle, Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Holland, Chadwick Boseman, Zoe Saldana, Karen Gillian, or Gillian maybe, Tom Hiddleston, Paul Bettany, Elizabeth Olsen, I saw Oscar winners, I'm saying here, Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan, Idris Elba, Daniel Gira, Peter Dinklage is in this movie, Benedict Wong, oh my God, so many people, Vin Diesel, I guess technically, Benicio Del Toro, Gwyneth Paltrow, Bradley Cooper, bunch of people. That was just...
Let's totally forget about that.
Yeah.
I am good.
Yeah. And this written by a bunch of people, I think. Screenplay by Christopher Marcus, Stephen McFeely. That's a funny name. Based on Stan Lee stuff and Jack Kirby stuff and stuff like that. It's directed by the Russo brothers, the guys who have brought you the Winter Soldier Captain America installment and the Civil War Captain America installment.
Right. So my understanding is that they had like a press announcement or something.
Yeah.
They had like a press release or something like that after the trailers, the saying like, letting you guys know, like, this is only one movie. There is no sequel to Avengers Infinity War. Like, it is just one Thanos movie. It's not Avengers Infinity War 1, 2. Like,
yeah.
Like, that was a big thing they were talking about. And someone had mentioned it to me, obviously. Matt, friend of the show, ruined it for me right in the beginning of the movie. Like, that's happened. And I was like, oh, so it's only one movie. And I was like, okay. So I don't know. I go into a movie cold as much as I can.
Me too. I've only seen the teaser and one other trailer.
I saw the teaser. I haven't seen any trailers. And I'm really good at avoiding things. Yeah. I'm just like spectacular at it. This is what you do when you have very little social media presence and don't care about what your friends post.
Right. I'm the same way.
Right. And I just...
So do you believe that then is my question to you? Knowing
it's a good
the
question.
Movie.
Yes. I do for... what this movie was about, because I think this movie did a good job of following Thanos, actually.
Okay, cool.
What's it called? And which I actually really liked, which is Josh Brolin, played by Josh Brolin.
Yeah, it took me a few scenes to see that the motion capture was Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the voice. Because he does voices too sometimes. Yeah. Doesn't make him super pinpointy.
The voice was there for sure. Maybe not like the first time you see him.
Right.
That you recognize it. But after that, you do see it's actually him. Like,
yeah.
With the motion capture.
So, yeah. So, so you're saying the movie is self-contained because of how much... his arc or what he's trying to do is has a point to it, like
I think we get around the it's what they try to do for Ultron. What's it called? We get around the same kind of stuff for Ultron that we did. Mm-hmm. I think a little bit more screen time, and I think it's just justified a little bit more because we've been doing more. This is obviously the big build up since fucking Iron Man 1.
At least since the first Avengers.
Since the first Avengers movie, for sure.
But,
so we've been having this buildup of what he wants to do, what's going on. They were really subtle with a lot of stuff, with all the Infinity Stones. Like, all they had to do was mention them once. And some things we were already alluded to what they do. And
it's like a universal version of finding the Horcruxes.
Yeah, I think they do a good job. The sad part about it is that Thanos as a character overall is kind of two dimensional anyway, in the comic books. So like to make him feel more three dimensional, it's a little hard in this in a movie sake, mm-hmm. right? But the overall his reasoning isn't the worst thing ever. I get it. He's as rational as he thinks he is in comparison to everybody else for his motives as a villain. And he's just set determined. He doesn't feel like, you know, this outlandish villain. He does not cackling at anybody, for example, right? He's not doing anything dumb. He's actually very calm in his demeanor all the time, actually. And that actually makes him a really cool villain in this cinematic universe, in comparison to everybody always gloating about themselves and making outlandish statements and stuff like that. He backs up all his statements, and that's a really big thing. Obviously, the Infinity Stones have a huge thing to do with it, but he can wield them. Can't complain about that.
Right. Yeah, he does. So I think that we both get more than I thought we would get out of Thanos, at least Thanos' plot.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we don't get enough about it.
Yes, but I'm still relieved of what we got.
I was relieved that they tried.
Yeah, I'm more relieved because other Thanos stuff is kind of bonkers.
Actually, I really wanted them to go with the comic book lady. Like, is he courting Lady Death? Is he going to say
Yeah, which one? There's a couple things. I mean, if you want to look at that one. Yeah, is he going to court Lady Death? Are we really going to get into that? I mean, if we're going to get into that, we're going to get into, like,
I mean, the last thing we see of him is that after he uses the gauntlet and it looks like all used up, he's in that dream state, right. And he sees little Gamora.
Yeah.
At first, I thought,
thought we were going to get that. And I was like, we are not going to get Lady Death.
I'm like, oh my God.
I was like, we're going there. I was like, holy fuck.
And maybe it could still be it because it kind of cuts off there.
It does.
But that's the last we see of him.
Sure.
And but I'm curious. Yeah.
My understanding of that, that's the soul gem.
Right.
So he dies, right? That's my understanding of that.
Yeah, maybe.
And the soul gem is your insurance policy. You get to, that's the whole purpose of a soul gem. If you die, the soul gem kicks in and boom, extra life.
Extra life, really?
Yeah. My understanding of it.
See, I thought the soul gem would be the one thing, because I think soul and time, this is a different topic altogether, almost divergent thing. I thought soul and time are the only things that could really affect the mystical arts, which is what Doctor Strange's arena is about.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't focus on the physical stuff, like the Avengers to do that. So I thought that would be more like his domain. And it was. Time definitely was. I thought soul would be more involved in it. But soul just ended up being the one thing he was looking for that he did not have any clue. As opposed to knowing, you know, where it was.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
So it turned out to be a little different.
Yeah.
But as to what you were saying, we were talking about the ending and his successful mission, right, and all that.
Yeah.
We can get into the merits of what he's talking about if you even buy it for a minute. But before that, I think that him being successful means that. So whatever comes after this movie, and I don't mean Ant-Man and the Wasp, by the way, whatever comes after this movie. It has to be relating to bringing these characters back. Because if Dude, I will give Marvel all the chops in the world if they tell us that Spider-Man is really dead and Black Panther is really dead. I just don't believe that these brand new properties that made them so much money, not that it have to make money, yeah. they're badass characters, and these actors nail those characters,
sure.
that they're going to just fucking kill them off after one movie.
There's no way.
No way. No way. So they're coming back.
We do have a two-year gap, right?
What do you mean, two-year
gap? We have a two-year gap from the last Avengers thing that happened. Right, and
is that the one Ultron came out 2 years ago?
Actually, a little bit after that. No, it's more than that.
Yeah,
the Ultron. So it's like 3 years from Ultron. But if you look at Civil War,
okay,
Civil War from there, 2 years. We have a 2 year gap from there.
Okay,
so we can do movies in between there. Theoretically, you can do stuff. All of stuff that happened.
You can do like past movies.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. Or things that happened. How did those relationships work? What happened in between here? But anything after that, it's. Good luck with that.
Right,
I mean, you could do a movie like that, but you're alluding to a lot of things.
No, look, I would love them to do it, but it's not a good strategy, business-wise.
No, I think if they do
a movie... Maybe artistically it's a good strategy, but it's not a...
I think if they do a movie, they do one, and then they do another one, which has to definitely hit a reset.
They have to bring them back. And also...
Oh, no, they're bringing them back. I mean, listen, I'm time jump coming in this bitch, motherfucker. There's no way.
I had the top three, I thought one of these three... One of the three that I thought was going to die, or all three... They all survived. It's really funny.
So the only frustrating thing I had here is the lack of the use of the gems from everybody else except for Thanos.
The lack of the use of the gems. What do you mean?
So we have Doctor Strange with the time gem uses it once to...
I have a theory about that, but continue.
So it uses it once to look at the, to look at the future.
The 14 million possible tries.
Right. Now, we don't know how far in the future he did go, and is that future...
I think he knows the entire movie. He knows the sequel, how it looks like.
Right, exactly. And if that future is that, then that's fine, right? Then that's fine, right?
Yeah.
And he knows that people are going to die, and all that happens, and I don't know how far he went in that future. But we don't get any of that, right? And that's fine if you're going that route, right? And that if that pays out, that pays out. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, that doesn't pay out at all.
Oh, that doesn't pay out at all.
He fucked up. We got a sword. He should have been using the time jump.
Great plan, by the way. And then, which we'll go back to in a bit, because there's a lot to talk about in this movie. We have that. We have lack of use of that. We have the weakest, who was one of the strongest characters, which is Vision. He's like the weakest character in this movie.
What was up with that?
I have no clue. That's like, and what was his gem again?
The Mind Stone.
The Mind Stone. We have the Mind Stone, which is I think
I can phase in and out,
right? And which they kind of like fuck him over the whole time. Like it's like, oh, he's nullified on that. So a dagger stops you from using your Mind Stone. That makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
So that's,
and also that really what really pissed me off is that they actually introduced the idea and they successfully went through the whole idea of being able to destroy an Infinity Stone. You can't destroy an Infinity Stone. It's like you can't destroy. Like I'm trying to say, like matter can be destroyed and you know and created. Like no,
yeah, it's no. Actually, I had a fear of that. I didn't hate the idea of the Infinity Stone being destroyed. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was gonna be like okay, and it's just like boop. Since it's balanced to the universe or whatever,
yeah.
It will like just appear where it would have been or somewhere else. And it would have been like, okay, this thing just comes right back.
Cause oh, you mean if they successfully went through it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just lack of use of it from anybody else.
Yeah, lack of use for sure. I mean, the only two stones that are used are those two, and they're used really badly or very sparsely.
I thought the Tesseract was going to be used also. We have none of that used.
Well, I love how, like, obviously Loki would not be able to keep his hands off it when they left
exactly.
Asgard.
Sure.
It was perfect. I really love the opening, by the way.
I love the opening as well, and actually it speaks a lot to Thor, and if you know anything about Thor lore.
Thor lore horror?
Yeah, Thor horror lore. I didn't want to rhyme, but...
But you did.
And I know a little bit about Thor.
Well, that's not what I mean. I don't know much about it, so...
Well, we have no Mjolnir, right?
Right.
That was destroyed last Thor movie, right?
Yeah.
Ragnar.
Hella, whatever.
Yeah. His sister who took the eye.
Yeah.
So we have that. So we don't have Thor at strength, at full strength. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have Asgard. He's obviously at loss. He's in his own world. Not even a world. He's got ships.
He's in the wind.
I love that opening. We don't have to see him fight, right? Yeah. We just see him already completely fucked. And he's trying his hardest, and you see a lot of stuff going on. Even fucking Hulk loses a battle against
yeah, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, against what's his name?
Basically, yeah, this first half of the review is going to be just fanboy reviewing, by the way.
Sure, it's against Thanos, and you see it's a really cool opening because you get to see the disparity of strength between them. What's it called? If we had no stones versus stones, it would have been a closer fight for Hulk, I think.
Yeah.
But even then, it was a pretty close fight. But that shows also there is a weakness to Hulk besides the stones, and it's something else, maybe mentally. But yeah, it was a really cool opening to see basically Asgard destroyed, the rest of Asgard, because Asgard was already destroyed.
Well, I think the main thing that that opening does that's really fucked up, but also negative, I think it's a little bit of a negative. As cool as it is for this movie, it completely nullifies everything in Thor Ragnarok. Can you watch Thor Ragnarok? Because Thor Ragnarok is you get an old warrior from Asgard come back to fight for the realm. They save the realm. The realm is not, the country isn't the place, it's the people. And this movie opens up with he has nothing. They're all dead. That Tessa Thompson actress who was in Thor Ragnarok clearly died off screen and wasn't in this movie. And Loki's dead. In his last, which I don't know. I was kind of hoping that he had something else still up his sleeve about the whole thing because it seemed like it would never work to try to stab him.
I don't see. Yeah. I just saw somebody who was lost who thought he could do, who thought they were stronger than they were, go into battle and they lost. We don't see it. We don't get to see that. It does feel a little disappointing, especially after Thor Ragnarok. Kind of, because we saw
it
Thor.
It discredits the entire movie.
It doesn't discredit the whole movie, but it does discredit some of it, right? But at the same time, I think we'd have a huge redemption for that person, for that specific character later on in the movie. For Thor, I think it's a gigantic redemption for him. It's almost like,
I think it could have been if they played it better throughout the movie. I think it was undercut by any joke that he made about anything. Like, this guy should feel as bad as a war torn battlefield where a kid's entire family and village is burned to the ground. That's the equivalent of what he should be feeling.
You didn't you thought it was
two scenes, but that's really it.
Sure. So I do agree they could have done a little bit something a little bit more. It was kind of a heartfelt moment when he's explaining. Like, what's
to
a
raccoon?
To the rabbit.
To the rabbit, yeah.
Yeah. What's it called? He, when he's talking about it, he's like, I gotta go be the captain now. He's like the worst captain ever. Yeah, and he's talking to him about his feelings and everything.
Yeah.
And it's, you almost get the excuse of like, yeah, this guy's gone through so much shit. Like, he's lost all of his friends. Yeah. And he's sad to say that he's the guy who doesn't die. And they don't want to get too into it, right? I thought it would have been great to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's not Thor's movie to get into it.
No, I mean, that's the thing is that in the end, it's nobody's movie. And then when they try to shoehorn in Thanos's, not being Thanos's movie, but when they try to shoehorn in an appropriate amount of movie time to explain his actions and the whys,
yeah,
it's not enough to call this anyone's movie. And in the ensemble, as you, when you say, well, it's an ensemble, the ensemble aspect of it is that you come across not liking or disliking these characters any more than the films that came before.
Yeah.
And that's a really big problem because there is no development, either negative or positive, for any character across the whole board, other than if they live or die or if their country is still there or not. That's the only difference.
Yeah.
And that's not a difference to them. It's a difference to their location.
The two biggest people here, developmental-wise, mm-hmm. are Thanos and Thor.
I think, yeah, Thor. I get the Thor thing, but again, it wasn't, I mean, I think he was just getting, like, Stella getting his groove back.
That's what that was, but it's also something that he's been
Hulk
missing.
And then Hulk got the opposite?
That's exactly. That's just something that's been missing. Yeah. I don't think we need anything from Captain America, right? We don't really get that much from Captain America.
No,
We get some stuff from Iron Man, especially towards the beginning, where he's at conflict of interest of not even being Iron Man anymore. What's it called? And having to fight off.
See, that was shoehorned in the beginning, too.
That was shoehorned.
It was just Gwyneth Paltrow telling him not
right,
to.
Exactly.
Like, this is the world. This is the galactic war.
Right.
Let her go.
Exactly. But, like, we have this going on, right?
Yeah.
But we've been hinting at it throughout all the movies for a while now, right?
That she doesn't like it, right?
Well, that she doesn't like it, and that he's, that he's been wanting out because of her, right? And because of also just health reasons. So, but we have the other problem, and I think they did good for Thanos bringing it up. It's like it's so sad that you're one of the smartest persons.
Oh yeah, something like that.
Right, because he is. He's like, and you know, you have to make shitty decisions. Like, because being so smart means you're a rational man. He almost sees him as an equal in that matter, where he's like, if you had to make the hard decisions, you'd probably be in the same situation I was. If it was my world, if you're in my shoes, you'd be doing what I'm doing to your world or to the universe.
Yeah.
Right? If it came down to it, you would be the guy who'd be like, well, the rational thing is we have less people. Right? And in Thanos' case, right? And he sees Iron Man the same way. And he's like, it sucks, but you're in my way also. So there's a mutual respect for that. But at the same time, you know, I still you're fighting the other way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's it's interesting. They play on it, but they don't touch too much on it. It's like it's a lot of stuff is left to us to fill in blanks.
No, they do a lot of great things from past movies.
That you don't have to have everything. Systems,
right? Yeah. They do a lot of good things. Most of it has only to do with the where's and the why's and the how's of things. Not exactly the inner. Like it's not this movie, and we'll never. I get it. These movies will never be deep. It's just that they don't hold their characters true if it isn't their standalone movie. Only then do they put. Obviously, they have to put more effort in. But like, I feel like there is a lost quality in the quantity of all these actors.
There is a certain lost quality. There is, but at the same, some of your biggest characters are, I think, always remain straight on their. On their roles. Iron Man never dissuades from what he is, no matter how much conflict of interest there is that we get a little bit, right? I think Captain America, same thing. He's a guy who's always going to fight the right fight for him. You always get that sense, even though there's minimal screen time from him as well.
Yeah.
Same thing with Spider-Man, same thing with Thor.
Yeah.
All these people, all these big characters, you still get the same thing from them. You know, it's all the other characters that we just don't have that much.
Yeah. From. And everyone clicks a little too easily for me. But we'll get to it now, I guess. The action scenes.
Yeah.
Some of that shit was really cool because, like, they have different styles of action and teammate playing. Like, Raccoon, and then this fucking Captain America's best friend, Winter Soldier. I forget his name.
What's Bucky. His
name? Bucky, thank you. When Bucky picks up Rocket and just spins it around with the gun, yeah. He's and they go that back and forth about buying his gun.
I'm gonna get that arm.
Oh, I'm gonna get that arm. Yeah, like that. Yeah. It's like all those that joke would never work if we didn't have two other movies of him getting people's eyes and arms in other movies.
Right, exactly.
But also like it's so. Yeah, but they also build and they combine actual fighting styles.
They do a really good job
in a
better
way than
this movie is about. If you have not seen any of the other movies, this movie falls short.
Which is a good and a bad thing.
It's a good and a bad thing. Yeah. Well, it's like reading in the middle of a comic book. You're reading a comic arc, and you're and then you're trying to get everything explained to you because you missed it.
You can get easily lost in a
right. Exactly. You can super get
if you skip
lost.
A issue one.
Right.
Issue
if you exactly. Yeah. I get like what the you're like where am I? I don't understand this.
Yeah.
This heavily relies on every other movie. Mm-hmm. And you knowing your characters already, you knowing everything. That's why we don't get that much screen time from everybody else.
No, I get that. I know.
Yeah.
I do get it. I just think that they wanted the spectacle to succeed in an action scene, which they do, and it does.
Yeah.
But they take out a lot of other things in the process of just trying to get that one thing going.
Right.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. It'll make them a lot of money. I loved it. My fanboy score was at 11. You know, that's
yeah. So someone asked me to rate this today.
Yeah,
and they were like, "It's a 10, right? You're 10, like 10, right?" That's literally the conversation I had with the person.
Yeah,
and I was like, "I can't tell you it's a 10." I go, "That's the sad thing is that my fanboy person wants to tell you it's a 10, and it's the best movie out there.
In
the universe, totally. Right?" Yeah. I go, "But it's a 9," and I go, "And it's a 9 because there's something." I go, "For me, it's a 9." That's what I told them. I go, "A 10, everything else is amazing." Fights, great, everything. I go, but overall, the movie's a 9. There's something missing. I can't tell you it's perfect. I go, because it's not. And that's exactly how I told him. I go, it's not perfect for me.
Yeah.
I go, there's something missing that's not going to make it a 10.
Yeah. I mean, this movie will never make anything for me, top 10 wise. Like, it's just enjoyment.
Well, I'm saying on a scale of 1 through 10. I'm going to get to 9. It's not the perfect movie, but it's a really good fucking movie.
I can see people getting hyped up into it, and it was fun. And we could talk all day long about all the jokes and the awesome stuff. I really love replacing a hammer for an axe.
Hammer
pretty
axe.
Badass.
Yeah.
Hammer axe combo. I love Groot's handle.
Yeah.
I love how he's a teenage angst.
Yeah.
I love how every movie we see him, he's like grown up a little more.
Yeah, there's some stuff really that stuff. I think you could have trimmed some fat in this movie for sure.
There's so many locations for one.
There's a lot of locations, yeah. I think we could have focused a little bit more on certain things. You could have trimmed the fat in dialogue in certain areas. I think we have a lot of banter that doesn't need to happen. But at the same time, the movie... that levity takes away a lot of seriousness from the movie. What's it called? So it takes a lot of seriousness away from the movie.
Yeah.
And which is pretty good because it's still a PG-13 movie. I don't know. But I liked it, but some of the scenes still went on way too long. Like,
well, the thing is, a real problem that, you know, and I understand, Oscar, why would you ask for character development in an ensemble cast of like 25
so
A-list actors?
It's so hard.
I'm like, okay, yeah. I can maybe forego that one. But I will say that one of the big problems is that it has too much going on. There's like five different groups of people being tapped into and checked up on. And, you know, it's 20 minutes before we discover, oh, yeah, we haven't even introduced the Guardians yet. We have to introduce them now, you know?
And now, all of a sudden, they're everywhere.
And now then they get separated. And there's two groups there. And then Rocket Raccoon is whatever. And then raccooning.
Yeah.
And, And it's very confusing. There was a genuine moment in the movie theater, because I was following it pretty closely. Obviously, we all were. There was a moment in the movie when some plot development was happening, and I forgot what they were doing last.
100% agree with you.
I don't know what part exactly. I'm sure if I watch it again, I could pinpoint it more. But it was one moment in the movie theater. I'm like,
I think for me, it was when the reality gem is introduced in the movie.
Nowhere. Maybe that was there.
Because we get in there, like, it's empty. And I was like, this is a fucking plot. This is a trap if I ever seen one, right? Like, General Akbar, come on. Like, everything's clicking in my alarms, right? And it's like from the ship right there, for Thor, when they're talking, a lot of banter. You still got a lot of banter in between. Not to say that they're still holding it true to the characters, and I get that. Like, but I just still feel like if you want to trim some fat, there is some fat there if you want to add more seriousness to other things, right?
Yeah.
We still get into it. There's some roles that are super telegraphed that are about to happen. Like, you don't need to hold extra long pauses on a person because we know they're gonna die. Okay, guys, right? Things of that nature, right? But I think when we get to the reality jump after that, you're like, what's going on? Because I think they do a cutaway scene to something else, and you're just like, I don't even know what we're focusing on.
I also love how different thing, when especially I noticed that when he got the reality jump, Thanos says that he gets like noticeably more powerful.
Yeah.
And he seems to know his shit. Like, where's the instruction manual on these gems?
Right. That's the thing is that, there's never been an instruction manual, right? It's just that he knows about them all so much, except for the soul gem. The only one he doesn't know anything about is the soul gem. And they even give a good talk about that.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Red fucking skull, right?
Yeah. What a cameo.
How did he get there?
From the Tesseract one. Remember? He had the Tesseract?
Yes. Okay.
And he couldn't control the power. So, like, it just teleported him, like, some craziness with the powers or something like that.
He didn't get killed or vaporized?
No, he got teleported over, and he's basically dead-ish. He's like a ghost, undead thing. He's stuck in that spot forever, where he is for the soul gem.
Okay.
Just to tell people
that. Sucky.
Yeah. It's like, he didn't die, but he did die.
Yeah, when my girlfriend's like, who is that? Because everyone gasped in the movie, and she had no idea.
Yeah.
And she's like, who is that? I'm like, he's a Nazi.
I was like, what? Yeah, I was like, what?
She's like, what? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, what a cameo for that one.
That was good.
That was really good.
That was the most surprising one for me. Giant Dwarf, by the way, pretty funny. Pretty funny.
I like that. Yeah.
I also like how, you know, the actor has to have a sense of humor about it, I guess.
Word.
One thing that was interesting, obviously, we get two major characters who have to make sacrifices and end up doing that, but then immediately taken back. It's like, just to prove that they can do it, they would be able to do it, but they never get the actual chance to do it. And that's, of course, Red Witch killing Vision.
Yeah.
And then Quill killing Gamora.
Which is so sad because Quill killing Gamora, again, that's overplayed, right? And yeah,
that was overplayed. That was by like a minute long.
More than that.
Yeah, long. It was way too long.
And then, and then not only that, we get, I feel like after that, he shouldn't have been so dramatic about it. Also, later on, when we get that fight later, that that they do an amazing job when they're fighting Thanos and Titan.
That was cool. That was a very good choreography. Combining Doctor Strange with Quill's, I mean, it's like three egomaniacs trying to plan something out.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
That'll never happen.
That's the thing in the teaser and in the trailer where, like, yeah, I love your plan. I think it's going to work great, but it sucks. Let me make the plan, right?
Yeah.
And that is Quill's strength.
Is Footloose still the best movie in the world?
Right, exactly.
Like it never was.
Right. What's it called? I love that because that is Quill's job, is that since he's a leader, right, of a group, he knows the plays a strength. He knows what they can do, right? That's the difference between Iron Man. Iron Man focuses on what can Iron Man do to fix things, right? So he focuses it around himself, and then everybody else can help out. Right?
And Doctor Strange.
And Doctor Strange is Doctor Strange. He's just like, I'm doing me, right?
No, Doctor Strange is the sacrifice guy. He would do the one most efficient thing.
Right, exactly.
With the least death involved, I guess. But that could happen, I guess.
Yeah. So, but they do a really good job of comboing everybody's abilities there.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Right, exactly. That was a really good
Same thing in the park when they had that first encounter. That really powerful, the most powerful minion of Thanos is that weird guy with the telekinesis.
Yeah, and I had a problem with all his minions. They're the four horsemen, if you know anything about Thanos. So.
Oh, I didn't see no Sinister. Was that one of them Sinister?
It's supposed to be.
Okay.
We have the four horsemen here. Mm-hmm. Where they're supposed to be the four horsemen are of the apocalypse, if you want to look at it, right?
Yeah, that's what.
But in reality, it is the four horsemen. That's what he calls them. It's people he's encountered his lifetime, obviously, Thanos, that while conquering worlds, I'm assuming, that came to match him, and he bested. But he thought that we're strong enough, like it would have been like an Iron Man, for example, right? And we were like, okay, but you're one of my horsemen. Like, I still bested you, and I'll keep you alive, but you're for me. And that's basically what happens. They're supposed to be extremely strong. That's why they go on par. They go toe-to-toe with a lot of people. But I think those guys are also just characters thrown aside. And we could have got a little...
Yeah, we know one of them is Carrie Coon. Did you recognize her?
Sort of.
Okay. Do you know who Carrie Coon is?
Once or twice, I think I know who she is in my head.
Okay.
I've seen her. I think I know who she is, but I can't tell you.
Ben Affleck's sister in that movie.
Well, that's helpful.
In that movie.
Right. In that movie.
Gone Girl. Anyway.
Okay. I know who she is. We just got that tossed aside. And I think you could have used some time to explain about them a little bit. Even if it was like a precursor thing to... Even in another movie, we could have got something like that.
Yeah, maybe show them as to be like religious zealots. Or are they like Genghis Khan, you know, if you want to...
Yeah, I would see them more like
they,
that.
Like a lieutenant, like one of his?
More like Genghis Khan's kind of thing. Like,
because that guy did basically what Thanos did way back then. He would like find like a... He would defeat an entire enemy's everything, country. And he notices like this guy's armor was pretty good, actually. And he totally hires him to be his number one army colonel in his own...
Right. You're in charge of this region.
Like, yeah.
Right.
And then that's why he was able to amass even more.
Exactly. You're in charge of this region. Don't fail me. Right. If you do, I'll be back.
Yeah.
And you already saw what I did once.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those things.
Yeah, kind
of
like that. Yeah. Yeah, I would like that too. I would have liked a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I feel like there has to be a sequel, though. Yeah. I mean, there has to be.
I love there has to be, for sure. But it's not a sequel in what we think, especially over the ending of everything that happens.
How did they make you feel?
How did the ending make you feel?
Make you feel?
Awestruck. I saw it coming, especially when we get this, we get the whole thing in the fight in Titan versus Thanos is don't let him close his glove. Because the moment he does this, he closes his glove, he gets to activate the gems, right? That's the whole trick to him. And nobody knows that. Nobody knows to do that on Earth. Nobody knows to hold them down, to hold them to stop.
Oh, I see, because it's a plan on Titan, but it's not a plan on Earth.
It's not a plan on Earth. Like, the plan on Earth is to just stop him, hold him off.
Yeah.
Right? And no one's paying attention to the actual glove. Yeah. So when he gets everything and he just goes, like, the whole movie is like, all he's going to do it with the snap of his fingers, it's going to be over.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he does. That's why when he said it, he's like, you should have aimed for the head. I was like, no, he should have aimed for the arm.
Yeah,
I was like, he could have just cut the arm off, and that would have been game.
Yeah, I think he blew his load a little too fast there, Thor.
I think he did. Yeah, it was a mix.
He's really gonna blame himself.
It was a mix of rage, and it was a mix of misguided rage.
Yeah,
and you know, trying to redeem himself. And don't get me wrong, he manages to inflict basically death on him. It's just like you can't if you're not gonna kill him in one blow, you got to disarm the guy. Literally.
Yeah.
Literally, in this case.
Yeah, I got a punny. All
right.
Do you have a favorite, like, set piece or anything like that? I think probably the Titan one seems to be it. But
Titan one is the best fighting scene for me.
Yeah.
I think it's the best group up with you show the strengths of everybody's abilities here. Mm-hmm. You show everybody that can go toe-to-toe to a certain extent with Thanos. You show a lot of things, a lot of people's resolve here, more than the fight in Wakanda. I do love how amazing Wakanda still is and how technical advanced we should still be. And you can see that just from the strength of a simple shield that we think is a simple shield.
Do you think it's a little shorthand to use Wakanda so fast after Black Panther?
It did feel like kind of like, oh, this is perfect to just fill in this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, no, I just think we just got the Black Panther movie too late. A little too late. We should have had a Black Panther movie like
I wonder, also wonder, like, how do they know the stone was there? Do they detect it at all times? How do they do that? And,
how do they know what?
They know where the stone is.
Yeah, that's something that's about, like...
Because they land in Wakanda, like, they didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, it's something that I think we always have a general knowledge of where it is, and it's something that alludes to where, like, raw power is.
Mm.
And since the stone is essentially raw power and not just a strength stone or power stone, it's a raw energy thing, and that's just like, okay, well, we have raw energy over here. And that's where they focus on, to the strength, the biggest strength.
I really thought the vibranium thing would come more in handy or more importantly. It didn't, but...
The what?
That's fine. Adamantium, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, it did come in handy. The shield thing, just that overlaying shield arc.
Are you talking about the...
In Wakanda. Are
you talking about the Phantom Menace?
Yeah, exactly. I'm talking about the Phantom Menace.
No, I know. I'm saying no. I mean, like, more, I don't know, more important, like the material itself.
Yeah, no, I get it. I thought we were going to get more from that too, sure.
Like, you know, that's hit, like, he lost a comet full of vibranium.
Right.
Like, it's from his homeland. That's why it's the strongest thing ever.
But overall, I actually really love Thor's stuff as in the Forge. That's a big thing for me.
Taking the hit, you mean? The star hit?
Although
seeing the star crank up again, that was really cool.
That seeing him crank up a star, right?
Cool.
Which we saw, I saw coming, and I was like, oh, well, Thor's going to start this bitch up.
That's another thing. It's weird. It's just, okay, you were saying,
right? What's it called? I was like, Thor's going to start this thing up. There's no way he's not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he does, and he's like, well, I guess I just have to hold this door open for a while, right? And it just shows you that he's really a god. Like, he's a god. And that's why he's alive for, we get his timeline also. He's been alive for what? What do you say? 1,500 years?
Something like that, yeah.
1,300 years?
It's been a while.
And he literally is cut from whatever gods were from, or if you want to call them from.
Well, that's the thing is that, so that's one of the, that's something that bugged me a lot in this movie, that bugs me in a lot of movies, especially Thor Ragnarok, now that I think back on it, is that they really just play, it's convenient, to their convenience, how powerful a superhero is. Because they really toned it down, way down, and to Thor and Thor Ragnarok, they really rose him up here. While at the same time, they diminished a lot of what Vision could do. He basically seemed godlike until suddenly in this movie he isn't.
Right, exactly. I'm telling you.
There's a lot of stuff like that going around.
A simple dagger completely wrecks him.
Other than the just the physical humans, like you think of Scarlett Johansson, you think of Chris Evans, you know, they're just better or stronger than a regular person, but they're not anything really that special.
Right.
Or same thing with Tony Stark. Like they don't change. But they don't, you know, which makes sense. But everyone else, like, everyone's like Hulk, dumbed down a lot. They're using the Hulkbuster instead, which is funny. And then I guess that's a, we never really talked about that, but I guess Hulk got so scared from fighting Thanos.
Yeah.
That was my theory anyway, yeah, that he was so scared he didn't want to come out again.
The actual monster itself realized a losing battle.
Yeah, for the first time.
For the first time in
its life.
In its life, exactly. And it knows that, why bother fighting it? And that's just one of those things, like, I'm not going to fight something that I can't win. So he doesn't fight it. And, yeah, that's interesting. And that's,
there are other theories, but that's my main one.
Yeah. That's my main one, too. Yeah, yeah, but it is an interesting one, right?
Yeah.
And I like how the human aspect is just like, well, no, like, we can overcome adversity. As a puny human, he can come adversity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he needs the Hulk.
He does. I guess when he really needed it, he didn't want to be there. Anything else you want to say on this movie you want to mention or talk about before we exit?
Yeah, let's get through the whole thing, scene by scene. Okay. Yeah, we'll be here for another 3 hours.
By the way, one of my favorite little moments is when Thanos gets really angry at specifically Iron Man during the whole Titan battle. This is after their foiled attempt to get his arm off, I think. Huh. I thought he was going to bring down the moon. And I was like, it was just shards of the moon. Still pretty fucked up. But it was a really cool moment. I'm like, holy fuck.
Well, I actually, same similar scene as when Iron Man's just fighting him one-on-one. And you see there's kind of a flash thing. And you see he had a conflict of interest here for Iron Man. But he decides to go all in where he goes for a hit, right? And he notices it's too weak. Because he goes to defend himself at the same time because all of his nanotechnology is kind of like running out.
Yeah.
His defenses are running out. Half of his body is like uncovered.
Yeah.
And he loses his face thing, but he decides to, instead of going for the more powerful attack, right, he decides to get more defense to hit another strike. And after that, then he risks all of it where he just forces all into one shot to go fight him.
Yeah.
And I mean, but that like one little like thing where he like doubts himself. To defend himself, like there's little things like that in the movie if you catch them. Similar thing with because we don't have a lot of Captain America in this movie, but it's somebody he's just a guy who with so much resolve and so much not worthiness, but it almost is like the universe tells him you're worthy of things, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the type of person he is, where he can hold, like, even if it's one arm and it is the mantle arm for Thanos. He's holding him. He's holding that arm by himself, you know, with the glove with all the six stones in it, and he's holding him by himself. And even Thanos is looking at him like, "What the hell is this guy doing?" Like, he's holding me down. I have to use my other hand to beat the shit out of him to get him out of him, right? And that's a big thing in the movie, and that's a big thing in comic lore also, where you have not everyone can wear the glove; they'll all die, right? Like. Somebody touches one of those gems, you needed a whole freaking Guardians of the Galaxy to just deal with one thing, right?
Right.
That's how strong it is. You have, in Captain America's sake, what's it called? He's been able to wear the glove even if it was momentarily. Because he is that strong mentally, will, and all this other shit. It's a lot of things that go into those and go into that. It's like the stones need to find you worthy also.
Yeah, yes and no, but
it's like a weird thing.
Not totally sold on that one. But
sure, I get it. But there is like little scenes like that that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but overall, I think I really enjoy the fight scene with Titan. It's definitely my favorite thing that happens on Titan.
I still love how they low-key keep upgrading Iron Man's suit.
Yeah.
Every fucking movie.
Right, but we don't, exactly, but at this point, we don't need a long explanation about it.
We haven't for movies now. Right,
but it's great.
Like, the last time we gave a shit about his new suit or they gave a shit about telling us about it is the briefcase one in part two.
Right.
After that, he's like, just casually just does things.
Yeah, which is great. I think it's great because yeah, it's just really like,
It's almost like a gag.
Yeah, it's almost like a gag. Yeah. Exactly. And the next fight is just like, that's just a stunt double. Like, that's right. Just an extra thing. I'm actually over here, right?
Yeah, right.
What I also really like, I like little small scenes when they're on the ship on their way to Titan. What's it called? And they're like... When Spider-Man's like, have you guys seen that really old movie, Aliens? Right? Like, you see the strength of everybody. Like, this is a movie that you need to combine everybody's abilities here, right? Some people were overthinking it. You have an Iron Man who's completely overthinking everything. Doctor Strange is just like, I'm here to protect this stone. And Spider-Man who's just like, how do we win? And that's why they won that battle. Because Spider-Man was in the game of, how do we win this fight? for example, there's those little things that I think the movie does well, but it still it leads on to this. You have to watch all these other movies. You miss even one movie, and it affects you.
Not completely, but yes.
Yeah, like, well, you can miss some of Iron Man movies, right? Because then you just get the rest from whatever. As long as you saw like Iron Man 1.
Well,
and
the trick is to make a movie good enough where like it can survive not having to watch those other movies, but it rewards you for having watched those other movies by looking and paying attention to all these details that a movie that a person who hasn't seen those movies won't get. That's the trick.
Yeah,
and that trick is not. I wouldn't call that with this movie. You need to watch those other movies to understand this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is again, it's fine. Everyone expects. Everyone has seen them. That's not a big deal. But I'm saying.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of explanation for that person
for the merit of a film.
Merit of a film. Yeah. Exactly. No, I understand you 100%. But yeah, I can't think of anything else. That's probably my favorite, or that stands out.
Hmm.
It did feel. I felt a little underwhelmed with stuff that happens in Wakanda. Also, at the same time, like I felt it was a really good battle, but at the same time, I felt kind of underwhelming for like a kind of like a last fight scene era thing.
I really didn't like the whole plan. It's like the general plan of why they were there. I didn't like it at all. Like, it's just one man. This is so ridiculous. It's fucking killing.
Yeah, they overplay that also. And I'm
take the stone out and just chuck it into space if you whatever.
And I'm really surprised that no one stepped in to, like, you know, even bring it up that he needs, like, they tiptoe around. They're like, no one man is sacrificing for themselves or whatever. They bring it up like three times.
Yeah.
But
we're going to sacrifice all these Wakandans, though.
Right, exactly.
Right, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's not a good. I like the whole premise of why they were there.
Yeah.
The stuff that happens in there was cool enough.
Yeah.
I didn't see any rhinos, though. But
I do have another random theory about this, and it's with the mind gem. That it's all in Thanos' mind, and it actually didn't happen, that ending so far.
Oh, that's your theory is that when he did that, he like imagined everyone dying?
He's in his he's everything that he's doing is like him thinking everything out with like the time gem and the mind gem. So he's like all of his steps were watching stuff ahead of time still. So
similar to how Doctor Strange sat there and saw 14 million possibilities.
Exactly.
And you think he's doing the same thing, and it's gonna
something
be
similar.
I mean, that could see if they don't play that right, that could look like a big fucking audience faker that the audiences won't like.
No, audiences won't
it could
like
play
that.
It could play really bad.
Yeah, no, but it just came into my mind.
But that's a very clever trick. If they do it right, they can do it really cleverly.
You can do very cleverly.
That's gonna be tricky, though.
I just still think right now, I still love the very.
Honestly, I haven't even thought about it.
Yeah, I know. I love the very end. Yeah. But we're looking.
I love the tone of the ending.
Yeah, that's one of the really end, yeah. No, I love the very end. I'm talking about the after credits.
Oh, I didn't see it. Yeah.
Yeah, which, if you want me to bring it up again.
You can talk about it, but you told me. Nick Fury calls Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I just love how the whole.
Before he disappears, too. That's the intention?
Yeah.
He's disappearing, too. Yeah. That sucks. So, I mean.
And he's about to say.
So, who's left? The douchebags?
He's about to say motherfucker, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yes. That's what someone's telling me, like, they almost got a swear in Marvel. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like, motherfucker. And he just disappears.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's Samuel Jackson.
It's Samuel Jackson, yeah.
It's the one guy who should be allowed to swear in any movie.
Right, exactly.
All right. I think we're going to call it. But it's a fun movie. We totally recommend it. Obviously, you've seen it. What are you here for if you haven't fucking seen it yet?
Right.
If you haven't seen it, don't worry about it. We're not making fun of you. Obviously, you're a dad. You have a you have a lot of shit going on. But when you do watch it, join us. And I'm happy you joined us for this.
Yeah. I'd recommend definitely if you want to get into a little bit more backstory, you can read a Thanos. There's a couple different arcs for Thanos stuff. Some of them are really cheap to buy comics, like actual almost graphic novels if you want to look at them. They're really thick now.
Yeah, they combine them.
They're sets and stuff.
Yeah, they are.
They're old. A lot of stuff for Thanos is old. There's nothing really super current. There's new stuff that's being done. But at the same time, what's it called? And a lot of it is kind of schlocky.
I really like the lady that stuff.
Right. I like it too, but for some people that's schlocky. So just letting you know.
I mean, I really thought Guardians of the Galaxy would be that bad, and it never was.
And it never was, yeah. I don't know. So it could work out.
Right, it could. All right, anyway, that's it for our show. We're not going to have a real big thing here. I'm so glad you joined us. We'll see each other in 2 weeks.